Welcome everyone to Beyond the Beat with 32 Beat Writers. My name is Zach Kaiduk, and today I'm going to take us through a very quick and dirty breakdown of the fantasy relevant players taken tonight in the first round of the NFL draft. Before we get started, I might as well just address the news that broke right before the draft started. AJ Brown of the Eagles did get extended to the highest wide receiver contract in NFL history via a three-year $96 million extension. They do this, of course, just after extending Devonta Smith a week or so ago. Not going to spend too much time on that because, man, we've got a lot of exciting and frankly insane things that happened tonight. I don't think anybody could have possibly predicted what happened here today. And I mean, yeah, let's just get into it. I will say I did get my first four picks right. I predicted that no trades would occur in the top four. Of course, they did not. And I actually got the players right. So I'm pretty proud of myself here. But let's just go right in. We're going to give a quick overview. Actually, you know what? Let's just go one by one. And any of you who didn't pay attention, you can be surprised along the way. The first fantasy relevant player who was picked, of course, was Caleb Williams, first overall going to Chicago. Everything that there is to say about this guy and this situation has already been said, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but we're going to pair him here with pick number 9 overall. That would be Rome Odunze. He also went to Chicago, so both Rome and Williams go to Chicago, and of course that pairing makes it very interesting. You have borderline three wide receiver ones there now. Caleb Williams is set up to succeed in every possible way, and I'm mostly excited for Rome Odunze. Yes, he finally gets to go, we now know, to Chicago, and is in a spot where feasibly he should be able to grow relatively well here. We had some comments here from Jacob Infante, friend of the show. If Rome Odunze is as good as I think he is, there's a very real chance that the Bears have three wide receiver ones on their roster right now. That'd be Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, of course, and Rome Odunze. So thanks, Jacob, for that here. Moving right along, we had Jaden Daniels going number 2 overall to the Washington Commanders. This has been predicted for a while now. Apparently, comes out after the draft that everybody knew that this is who they were picking for a couple of weeks now, and it was fairly obvious, at least to New England. You know, the landing spot I don't think is as bad as some people say it is. At the very least, he has a couple of wide receivers to throw to. He's athletic. You're going to get fantasy points from this guy. So, again, this has been litigated a lot, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it. But in my rookie drafts, especially in Dynasty and Superflex, definitely still very interested in Jaden Daniels. Don't be scared by the Washington landing spot. Now, the spot that you may be scared of for your drafts, of course, is New England here. Number 3 overall, Drake May is selected. I would not personally expect him to start right away. You might see some hype coming out of rookie camp. We'll find out. But the immediate press conference after the pick, had Coach Gerard Mayo said, I don't think many rookies are ready to get in and play, but he will compete. The best player will play. So based on everything that we've heard about Drake May, he needs a little bit of time. They intentionally brought in a backup who is confident in Jacoby Brissett. I would assume that he's going to be starting the year and not Drake May. As Elliot Wolf, the interim GM and likely GM of the future, pointed out, he looked at May's ability to throw downfield and added that the Patriots will want to add a speed receiver, something to keep an eye on. They have been linked to Brandon Ayuk, and as you can see later on, that may be relevant. Evan Lazar, also a friend of the show, said that May is an ideal fit for the offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt's offense. May is a savvy middle-of-the-field thrower with an A+. Arm talent to operate Van Pelt's vertical concepts. He is also comfortable with a pro styling elements like play action and making checks at the line of scrimmage. So I do think this is a good fit. This is who I wanted to be going to the England if anybody was going there. And so far, as good as can be. Marvin Harrison goes number 4 overall to the Cardinals. Tyler Drake a friend of the show as well, says all signs point to Harrison taking over as wide receiver one, with Michael Wilson commanding the wide receiver two spot and Greg Dortch operating out of the slot in addition to his work on special teams. This, you know, sounds obvious, but it is helpful to break down the wide receiver two and three spots there. I am so happy. If you're an owner of the 101, this does just finally finalize who you're going to be taking there. I think it's pretty clear with Kyler Murray. You're very excited that Harrison went to somebody who should be able to get him the ball consistently. And hopefully we don't see any frustrations boil over like we did with Hopkins and Murray a couple years back. Moving right along here, we've got Malik Nabers going to the New York Giants at pick six via Ralph Vaciano. Nabers really is that kind of receiver. He has a chance to be what Plaxico Burress was for Eli Manning early in his career, or what Beckham was for Manning later. He is a game-changing, sure-handed receiver with 4.3 speed and a burst that allows him to take short passes and turn them into long ones. And Matt Harmon, this is kind of more akin to what I was thinking, quote, uniquely skilled, maybe not thrive, but survive this landing spot. As in, he should be uniquely skilled to hopefully do okay, despite the fact that he is going to a place where, you know, the offense is not exactly that great. He's, of course, immediately going to be the number one there, but I don't really personally believe in Daniel Jones very long, and I don't know that the team does either. There were lots of rumors they would be taking a quarterback here, which they, of course, did not, as they were hoping to move up to three with the Patriots, who, of course, did not move out. Now, the real insanity begins, because at pick eight, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix, quarterback. I honestly was on a call with my friend Dan. Shout out to Dan. It just doesn't make any sense. In the immediate wake of this, we saw comments about, you know, Jordan Love sitting, or, you know, Mahomes was a high drafted backup for. No, that's not true. Neither of those situations are Jordan Love or Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes was obviously taken to be the starter of the future, and Jordan Love was as well at the back of the first round. It was like pick 32. I think they traded up back into the round just to take him there with an obvious aging Aaron Rodgers. They just signed Kirk Cousins, who was quoted as saying that he was shocked, had no idea about this. Nobody had talked to him about it, which I think is just straight up irresponsible by the coaching staff. I don't understand how you possibly could do this, on top of the fact that Penix likely should have been drafted much later. There's no reason that Penix should have been taken at pick eight. But hey, you know, the Falcons do, I guess, what the Falcons do and take people at eight overall that they're not going to use properly. I really don't understand it. I think it's nuts. The contract here, I know I'm spending a decent amount of time on this, but the contract for Kirk Cousins, just listen to this. Dead cap hit in 2024 alone, $90 million. Obviously, he's starting this year. We know that. $65 million in 2025. That's insane as well. So you're not cutting them there. 2026, I guess maybe it becomes feasible, but he still has a $25 million dead cap hit if you cut him. And then he has a $57 million cap hit if you keep him. So that's what you'd be paying Kirk Cousins in 2026. And maybe that's what they're looking at. Like, okay, maybe we want out by then. So you cut him, dead cap at $25 million. You're saving yourself like, what, $32 million? Okay, I guess that's great. But that just, I mean, it makes no sense. There's an out in 2027 possibly with, you know, a dead cap of $12 million, but I frankly don't understand it. I think it's crazy. They could have used that pick on any other position and helped their team out better. Yeah, it's nuts. So in Superflex drafts, I don't know what to tell you to do with Michael Penix. I wouldn't be drafting him, assuming he's going to be the starter this year or next. So what are you going to wait 3 years for a possibility at a starting quarterback? I don't know. I'll let you guys figure that out on your own. Maybe we'll get some other people's opinions here later as we go throughout the week next week. Moving on, number nine, as I mentioned before, Rome Odunze to Chicago. We already talked about him, so we'll move on to pick 10, Minnesota Vikings selecting J.J. McCarthy. I mean, you got Justin Jefferson, you've got Jordan Addison, they added Aaron Jones at running back, and you got a decent head coach, you know, with Kevin O'Connell, who's good there with the offense. I'm really interested to see what happens here. Obviously, this may have been the best landing spot for a quarterback outside of maybe Chicago, just with the wide receivers that they have. But man, you know, he has all the opportunity here to succeed via Jeff Darlington. He says, quote, "I'm listening to the Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell talk about the plan for developing J.J. McCarthy between O'Connell's expertise, Josh McCown's knowledge as quarterback coach, and a weapon like Justin Jefferson. It's pretty easy to convince me that this is the best case scenario for McCarthy." And, you know, we here at 32B Writers would just happen to agree with that. Now, we get another shocker. We've had, at this point, five quarterbacks go. Surely another one does not go in the first round. But indeed, it does happen. We have Bo Nix at 11 going to the Denver Broncos. Sean Payton said at Nix's workout that they had a private workout with him. He says, quote, "Man, it was impressive. I just remember we got in the car afterwards and just looked around and said, are you kidding me?" Bo Nix, for what it's worth, on the scheme fit with the Broncos, said that when you look at their offense, when you look at the scheme, there are a lot of really fun concepts that I've run in the past, a lot of things that I've been able to do and have success in. So it seems like both Nix and the Broncos are excited about this. Definitely goes to a tough division there with Mahomes and Herbert. So we'll have to see how that plays out. There is a lot of rebuilding to do, but we get six quarterbacks in the first round. That has not happened in a very long time. You know, just as a general observation, we didn't have a defensive player go until pick 15, which is by far the latest that a defensive player has gone. We had a lot of tackles go, and we're obviously not touching on them, but offense was the name of the game, and Bo Nix was a part of that at pick 11 of the Broncos. Subsequently, we had, unfortunately for the other tight ends on the roster, particularly Michael Mayer, Brock Bowers is selected at 12 by the Raiders. Sean Reed says that we would expect the Raiders to use a lot of 12 personnel, you know, one running back, two tight ends, and two wide receivers next season. Under offensive coordinator Luke Getsy, the Bears were 7th in 12 personnel last season. Bowers will fill the role Cole Kmet had as a versatile weapon who lines up at tight end, outside wide receiver, and slot wide receiver. That, of course, would very well fit the profile of Brock Bowers. I do wish he had gone to a bit of a better situation quarterback-wise, but Gardner Minshew is not the worst quarterback when it comes to fantasy production. I don't think that he has a job there long-term, but they paid him okay. And so we'll just have to see that play out. Mo Morton did say of the situation that it does put pressure on Luke Getsy to be creative with his play calling and efficiently use such a high-end prospect, though he doesn't fill a need. And I think that was the point. You know, they ran out of quarterbacks there, so I guess they just took the best, most talented player available. Now, we don't have a fantasy-relevant selection for quite a while here, but once we get down to pick 23, who traded with the Vikings, we get Brian Thomas, wide receiver to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And RG3 actually said that he looks like he's flying, as you guys know. He looks like he's flying when at full speed. His ability to track and adjust at full speed, no matter where the ball is, makes him a tough cover. And yeah, I mean, there were some medicals that came out on him, some comments about it that seemed to suggest that he may slip a little bit. I don't think he really did. This is somewhat where he was pretty much projected by most of the people that we talked to or followed. So this seems about the right spot for him. And with the Jaguars, hey, that's not a bad spot. We saw the departure of Calvin Ridley. And so you're really only competing with one other true, you know, talent there in Christian Kirk at the moment. So I think that's a good spot for him. We'll have to hope that Trevor Lawrence and that offense can put it together a little bit better than they have the past couple of years. But for a hopeful wide receiver one who may be more of a wide receiver two, it's good that he doesn't have too much competition and has a talented quarterback. So that's a plus. We then see what will probably be the most insane draft riser that you'll see. Xavier Worthy at 28 goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. And I mean, this was my nightmare. And the reason why is because I just did not have a lot of faith in 165 guys pound wide receiver. Now, you'll make Tank Dell comparisons, but I think he's even lighter than Tank Dell, at least at playing weight. Could be wrong. They're fairly similar, but it's just he's not big. And I didn't want to have to make a decision, particularly regarding the fact that speedy guys, you know, Curtis Samuel, of all the guys who've ran in like the 4.2s, Curtis Samuel is probably one of your best comparisons for how productive like he might be. I didn't see a lot of situations where he's gonna just light up the scoreboard week to week. Now he goes to the Chiefs, and how do you not draft the guy? I do think this is going to cause him to be overdrafted, so I'm probably not going to get him almost anywhere. I mean, we saw what happened with Mecole Hardman, and I'm not saying he's going to have a Mecole Hardman career, but we already have two wide receivers there and a tight end in Kelsey, who is, despite the fact that we all think he might retire, and yes, he might be slowing down, he's still going to command a lot of targets. I would bet, if I had to, that Hollywood Brown is the most productive wide receiver for them this year. You do have what I assume will be a multi-game suspension upcoming for Rashee Rice. We don't know what that will look like, but that situation is not great. Even if it is only a couple of games, you know, that puts Hollywood ahead for what it's worth. And Worthy is going to fairly obviously be put in a kind of specialized role. You know, he's going to be the guy to take off the top of the defense. I think it's going to be kind of limited. You're going to get some games that are probably great, but then I just think you're going to get some games that are going to be a complete dud. So it's a very tempting spot, but I don't think I'll have a lot of Xavier Worthy at the end of the day due to the fact that he's going to be drafted much higher than I would want to take him. Now, he does have a very good relative athletic score. Shout out to Math Bomb over on Twitter there. I mean, like we said, his 40-yard dash, 4.21. I mean, that is... he is the only percent, like he's the only guy to ever do it that fast. He's got an amazing 20-yard split, 10-yard split, very fast. Didn't get any agility testing on him this year, but you know, 5'11, 165, that's what scares me. We'll see what happens. The closest relative athletic score comparisons for Xavier Worthy as a wide receiver are Calvin Austin, the third, Khalif Raymond, Chaylon Hyatt, Damir Bird, obviously drafted much higher than all of those guys. But that's the type of player that I'm worried he's going to turn into. So we'll have to find out. Now, a guy that I was very excited about gets selected at 31 overall by the 49ers, and that is wide receiver Ricky Pearsall. I saw this guy at the Senior Bowl this year. You've heard me talk about him. You've heard me hope to get him later, maybe in the second round. I don't, and that was probably considered an overdraft, at least considering ADP. Earlier this year, even just a couple weeks ago, well, not anymore. This guy going to the 49ers hints possibly at an Ayuk trade. Who knows? We'll see what happens there. But I can promise you that, you know, I'm not going to be able to get him where I was hoping to. You know, if they try to keep Ayuk, if he stays, I'm not as interested. But if he goes, I'm obviously all in here. He's got 4.41 speed, really good athletic score. You know, he's not super big. He is about 6'1", 190. So for what it's worth, he's not huge, but man, he just seemed to perform really well any opportunity that he was given when we were down there at the Senior Bowl. And obviously the 49ers agreed here. Nobody had this guy going in the first round. And, you know, I just, yeah, I'm curious to see what happens here in mock drafts going forward. He should definitely belong in the first round of your rookie drafts as at least in a single quarterback, super flex. I think he still should probably sneak in there, even with the six quarterbacks that went. We'll have to see how those play out. But I don't know. Christian McCaffrey, like, how long really is he going to be around? He's amazing, and I'm not doubting him, but he is starting to get up there in age and has dealt with injury in the past. Debo Samuel injured quite frequently as well. Ayuk, of course, has wanted to trade out, and I just don't see a way they can pay all three of those guys. Again, with Brock Purdy eventually needed a contract here. I think he'll be up for a contract earlier than most just due to his draft position there. So we'll have to find out when or if one of these other wide receivers is put off the team. If that happens, of course, that stock is going to go way up. And I assume at some point it happens, either this year or next. So he's probably a decent investment, and I'm excited about that, despite the fact I'm not going to be able to get him where I was hoping later in drafts. To wrap up the first round, the Carolina Panthers traded back up from the second, where they did not have a pick this year, of course, in the first. They traded with the Buffalo Bills, who traded back, and they snag Xavier Leggett. Man, at 32, I just... You know, he predicted this, actually. That's what's funny. And, of course, I think the GM came out and said, well, I didn't really say that. I said that to a bunch of guys. Well, turns out they intentionally trade back up into the first to go and get him. So they believe in the guy. Fifth-year senior, though. It just, like, you can take a shot. But if I'm being honest, I probably want to let someone else make this mistake in the rookie drafts. You know, he might even have talent. Let's just assume that he's good. Carolina's tough, man. They don't have an offensive line. It's just the quarterback I don't really believe in. I don't know how much Carolina really believes in him either. And it's just a hard situation to overcome, even if you are talented. So the fifth-year senior stuff and all of that, him being drafted in the first round, isn't a surprise. I'm a little surprised, though, I guess, that he was taken there. It was predicted by many people, though, in that sense that I'm saying that it's not a surprise. But I'm just personally going to let somebody else make that mistake. The situation, I mentioned it on the show a week or two ago. Carolina is the last place I want a wide receiver going to, and you almost knew for certain that they'd be taking a guy. Real quick, notable names that did not get selected in the first round. We're sticking mostly with wide receivers because that's who we would have anticipated. A.D. Mitchell, pretty well thought of in the at least NFL community. It had seemed going into this, not selected in the first round. Troy Franklin, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, and Roman Wilson. I know that Keon Coleman and Roman Wilson were not necessarily touted as first rounders, but they are guys who will likely go tomorrow on day two, or today if you're listening to this on Friday. You know, I'm not surprised any of these guys didn't get drafted, but I do think they're key guys to watch, especially with the fact that Buffalo traded out of the first round and is, I would assume, looking for a wide receiver. I suppose they just had a cluster of them on their board and said, you know what, it's not worth it to take any of these guys when we like them all just about the same. So we'll see what happens there. I really hope Buffalo drafts somebody, because that will help out the fantasy stock. We will come at you next week with an additional breakdown of all the most important things that we took away from this. I did want to mention to you guys, hey, you know, call that voicemail line. That is 818-308-5020. That's 818-308-5020. Or you can text it as well. I'll get that, and I can help answer your questions here. I want to hear your take on the draft. What did I get right? What did I get wrong? did you like Xavier Worthy more than I did? Or do you agree with me? I'll play it on the show if you go ahead and send that in. Try to get it in if you can before next week, ideally by Monday or Tuesday. But, you know, I'll take it whenever I can get it. And frankly, if you give it to me tomorrow, maybe I'll get you on then anyway. So I did just want to say thanks, everyone, for you on as we break down the draft. I'm going to try to get on tomorrow and record another one for you guys after day two. Don't forget to like, rate, review, and repost. Helps us out a lot. And if you haven't yet, be sure to check out our website for all the previous podcasts and sign up using code podcast for 50% off of premium. For the 32 Beat Writer staff, I'm Zach Heide. We will see you later.